Welcome to the Certainty Roundtable podcast, designed for those advisory teams preparing for the fast emerging new era of financial advice in Australia. Hosted by Jim Stackpool, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with over 30 years experience advising advisory firms, the Certainty Roundtable podcast brings together the growing group of Certainty Advice firms as they share their insights, experiences, as they attract, attain, price and manage their valuable advice clients and advisory teams. Now, here is your host, Jim Stackpool.
G'day, Jim Stackpool here, and welcome to another in our roundtable series. And this one goes to the heart, I think, of what Certainty Advice is all about: handling sensitive conversations, particularly sensitive discovery conversations. Certainty Advisors are obviously following an approach that tries to not just cure a part of someone's financial life, get me the SMSF set up, get an MDA in place, put this insurance into place, do a rollover. We try to treat the whole because we feel that is fundamentally serving the best interests of the client. But we come to those times when emotions might be a bit high for a whole host of reasons, either life transitions, sudden tragic events, or long rolled out tragic events, transitions coming up that people don't feel comfortable with, where we have to handle sensitive conversations. And that's what this session is about. How are our advisors handling these sensitive conversations? Check it out. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our round table this week, where we're talking about sensitive discoveries, really tough conversations. And we're seeing a few more of them. I don't know whether it's due COVID or whether it's just simply we're getting better and better in handling these sort of conversations, but how do we handle sensitive discoveries? And that's what today is about. So, Joel, I might just get you to continue some of that conversations that you just were sharing there with Donna, Andrew, and I about how some of your experiences in sensitive conversations have led you to do a lot more work on your conversation zero.
Yeah, so the one, I guess, with the clients that had a passing of both, in both cases, it was husbands. One lady was in her 40s, another was in her 60s. One of the discoveries was quite good. The second one was a bit more erratic in terms of I wish I had have done a pre-discovery a little bit better with her when her daughter reached out to engage for an appointment. She sort of, her mum came in and not super financially savvy, but was just a bit all over the place and quite a tough discovery because we kept on chopping and changing and jumping to subjects. And I didn't do a good job of controlling the actual discovery in that process, which ended up leading to us not engaging. And I just don't think she quite understood the process throughout. So, I would have, I didn't in an ideal world, I would have run a better pre-discovery with that client there.
Okay. So that's a good takeout for everyone to hear. Like, and Joel has done a lot of work, and we're going to talk about actually conversation zero a lot over the next couple of 30 days. Now we have fundamentally changed our thinking. So using better conversation zeros to highlight there is a sensitive conversation coming up.
And as I spoke, and I started working with a client last year who had a terminal cancer diagnosis. And right. So he wanted a sort of end of life plan, as he put it. And we just sort of spoke about, I guess, at that first meeting, giving him the sort of time to sort of talk about that. And he, you know, had a complicated relationship with his kids. And so, I tried to sort of move it at his pace, I guess, but then still tried to guide us back to, you know, what we needed to chat about to be able to help him. So, yeah, it is tricky. And, probably the tough thing sometimes is just how much do you let people sort of talk about that sort of stuff before you sort of,
Because you're maintaining control, but also empathizing for the client at the time and going through a significant life event like that. Yep. Obviously, there's a number of different sensitivities, and they're as varied as the clients are. And so we can't really understand or say any one of them is going to be, you know, prevalent. Joel's conversation zero is a good one. It sort of at least gets a heads up. But this need, I think, to always be vigilant, because I think Certainty Advice and Certainty Advisors are particularly going to get more and more opportunities and more instances where the fundamental complexity raises some level of sensitivity amongst the clients. And so, firstly, let's understand, you know, what is a sensitive conversation. And I think there's three fundamental components to a sensitive conversation. One is there's emotions attached. whatever sort of emotions. There's an emotional test. So in some ways you can say, when you're talking about aspirations or transitions, or you're talking about people's complexities that are getting in the way of helping them achieve things, there might always be this sense. So it's almost like saying this, well, that's always going to be there. It just depends on the level of emotion. The other key thing is that they've got many options. Now, whether they realize it or not, but there are many options in this state of emotion that they can probably take. And the third element, which is really important, is there are significant consequences of the options that they take. Some people might say, because of the emotions, let's hold off any conversation about options because there are significant consequences. And so I think this element of the sensitive conversation, for me at least, is that there's some emotions attached, however strong. There's options, which they may realize or not, or they may come in thinking there's no options, and there's significant consequences. And our job is really then to turn on the sensitive discovery, I suppose, approach, and treat them with an extra level of care or vigilance, as I say, as we go through it. And so we're talking here about what I talk about, the intersection of these three core objectives. And the three cores, this is what progress is for me, as we're trying to do these sensitive conversations, of which I think there's going to be a lot more coming up in term, as we do this certainty advice more and more. And the first element is this, ensuring that we are serving best interests. And so understanding, even in these sensitive times, having the conversation, our core, when we're sort of thinking, how am I meant to running this meeting? It's getting a bit sensitive. One of our first core things to what progress has to be is understanding what progress is, because best interests, this is progress. Understanding what their best interest is, getting an understanding of their progress. And so whilst we'll talk about, well, you might have to cut bait, it might get too sensitive, but until that time, your sole objective in this is whole core about certainty advice is what is progress, is what is best interest for these people, but whether they're considering those options or not. And for the individual, maybe, and sometimes not for the collective. So what's the best interest for this person, even though they might have brought their daughter or their significant other, or they might have brought a friend, but what is this person? That's a really driving, we're really here to serve the best interest. That's the first point. The second point is really crucial, which is making it safe. Because we believe that once you make an environment safe, people will talk about anything. And so once you make conversation, and this doesn't need to be have a psychology degree to do this, it's simply just fundamental practice, not just in the components of a discovery, but the conditions in which the discovery is sometimes held. So you can have the components of discovery, which is conversation 0 to 9, but the conditions in which the discoveries are held sometimes might say, if I'm doing conversation 9 with a really easygoing couple as compared to doing conversation 9 when the sensitivities are high, I want to get practice at that, and I want to get my team practiced at that. So making it safe is getting this free flow of information. So, or not even information, it's obtaining a free flow of meaning. What's the meaning behind some of these emotions? What's the meaning behind what they're saying, their body language, and how they're conducting themselves? But unless I make it safe, and we have to do active techniques to make it safe, I might miss the fundamental meaning, because I really want to know options and then I understand the consequences. And really this last element is really crucial. I've got to pay attention. I've got to be present. I can't be distracted. I've got to be absolutely in my body language and my approach to paying fundamental, good, strong eye contact, not getting distracted by the devices. I've got to be paying attention when the odds are high and the emotions are strong and the options are many and consequences are there. I have to pay attention. I can't. And this is where particularly first and second chair need to bounce off each other to see, are we actually focusing on the approach? So this is fundamental focus areas when we're in the situation. Now, what are the steps to do it?
Yeah, like in my case, is when the people have lost a significant spouse, a significant loved one, then they do come in and everything's quite heightened. So trying to have a structure and a framework to be able to rely upon is pretty crucial, I think, when you're dealing with someone that's sort of coming in with spot fires everywhere and a really challenging kind of dynamic, and trying to bring it back to the sort of, you know, the discovery that you're trying to, you know, get out of it, because you know it's in their best interest to focus on that.
Yeah, and so I think I use a term like this is being fit for sensitive conversations, is being fit about really understanding what the best interests are, really consistently reminding them to make them feel as safe as possible, and all being absolutely attuned to what's going on in their lives, what's going on in that meeting, and maybe even what's going on between you and the second chair, or even between them and their partner they may have brought in, if they have brought another partner in. So this is what it's about, being fit and ready for the steps that are needed. Sometimes we have to main best fit. I think with these core elements to our base, our thinking, our way of being, so as to speak, then we're ready for the steps. And so making it safe in terms of handling sensitive conversations, the very step to make it safe is, when we see the sensitivities rising, is to step out of the conversation, to step out of, I'm here to help you make smart decisions about your money, I'm here to help you put it on the best possible path, I'm here, whatever the objective of the meeting has been to date. When the first or second chair realize that we may need to make this safe again, we may need to, and this is where we might have lost what we're trying to achieve in the meeting, what the client's trying to achieve. The client might be saying, look, it's just too raw, it's just too sensitive, it's just too recent. They're backing away from the meeting. They're backing away from the conversation. I just thought we're going to talk about, getting a will in place, something, and you're trying to play the cure of the part, should not be tempted that treatment of the whole. It's whenever we get that break, we're going to make him safe by firstly stepping out. Apologize only if you think you've actually caused some discomfort. If you think you've caused some discomfort, you think your actions, your process, or I like to apologize, I'm not trying, and then you might need to sit, and it's just, an apology gives you a signal that you may need just to reframe for a second. Now, some people say, sorry, just as a natural course, like, how are you going today? But it's not a small point, but it is a big point in some ways when you do need to apologize because you may have pushed too hard, you weren't present, you weren't acknowledging or you may not have got enough information beforehand. And the third point, and then it's to set up what we think to step it out, is do this don't and do conversation. And this is the shift to start really resetting the context of what you're trying to achieve, even regarding knowing that there's sensitivities. I don't want you to push you to where you point, it's just too uncomfortable. But I do want to understand the best possible steps to do everything, to achieve everything that your late husband, or get you through this situation with at least possible pain. So and this is where you've got to think on your feet, and this is where practice is important. Is it a sensitivity around a death? Is it a sensitivity around an illness? Is it a sensitivity around a divorce? Is it a sensitivity around just a sudden terrible surprise that's happened in their life? I don't want you to think we're trying to ask stupid questions. I don't want you to think I'm trying to waste your time. Don't want you to think by asking you to be quiet so I can listen to your mother. I do want to fully understand what the best interest and what the steps for her specifically are. So this don't and do, because the shared goal here is to help her proceed through this, to help get to the next steps as quickly as possible. And that's all I'm trying to do. And so this step out, can we just take a break from this conversation for a sec? Can we just stop right there and then just have a different conversation for a sec? You've got to have a break, potentially apologize, do a don't and do, which requires practice. And then our shared goal here is to move forward as quickly as possible on the best possible path to ensure all the wishes of those that might not be with us anymore, or those that are with us, are best achieved. Because as I said before, it's one thing to understand the 9 conversations and the approach. It's another thing to understand the condition in which you may be delivering the 9 conversations and approach. And so when you have these conditions, sometimes you need to have these sort of core skills as well. So in summary, we've got to make it safe. And I use this 3 times rule. The 3 times rule says, look, I'll try and make it safe using a process like that up to 2 or 3 times. But if there's still 2 in their issue, they're not getting out of that issue, then play it safe. After you try to make it safe for 3 times, then play it safe. Maybe defer, put it off. It's just don't push too hard. But once we saw an example of someone trying to get them through this situation and actually created more and more distress, greater and greater distress for a client who was in the early stages of dementia, and the discovery was a disaster because we sort of pushed a bit too hard when the client had come back 2 or 3 times and give quite clear signs. They tried 2 or 3 times, went on for 4 or 5 times. So there is this limit of making it safe 2 or 3 times before just play it safe, back out, change, go transactional, do whatever needs to be done. So there has to be a limit to it. And then the sensitive conversations requires a free flow of meaning. So if we're finding that the sensitivity is stopping this free flow, then we've got to step in. We've got to do something different. And so this whole concept of practicing both the content of something like the discovery approach as well as the condition of the discovery is important. And if you need support on that, let's share some case studies with you. You record them, send them in to us, and we'll give you some feedback on it. I think this remaining vigilant at all times, because like the storm's over the horizon, it can come at any time. Don't turn your back on this. And I think this ability to always be prepared for something that's a bit more sensitive. And quite often the sensitivities can flare up almost instantly when you thought everything was going right. Someone said something in the meeting that got the other partner flared up. And therefore we might have to use this sensitivities. Always be vigilant, not always when you think, oh, this is a case regarding a death. This is a case regarding a bad illness, the diagnosis, a case regarding a divorce. It could come up anywhere. And we do need to build the third party experts. So when they do need to sit on someone's couch, or they do need to get a specialist in divorce mediation, or they do need to get further advice from someone from an estate perspective. And just like you use a specialist underwriter, you use a specialist insurance advisor, you use a specialist estate planner or property specialist, bringing specialty into industrial psychology, for instance, we may need those. If you can't find any, reach out to us and we could potentially put you in touch with those that may be local that help with this sort of stuff. Don't play the specialist if you think, this is actually quite a hairy issue. And particularly for some of our clients who have dealt in the past in the divorce area, they need these third-party industrial psychologists and specialists to help with some of this really heavy stuff that is beyond our speciality. And thirdly, when the clients feel safe, they can share anything. And that's really the objective of what today is about. Well, what did you think? There you go. Conversations about this sensitive topic of how to handle sensitive conversations. I think Joel Seach had a great suggestion there in terms of effective use of a conversation zero before we see the client for the first time, prospect, I should say. Let's try and understand if there are any sensitivities to get us prepared. Having said that, I still think it's important to be vigilant. One of the key points we say in the summary, be vigilant at all times, because being a certainty advisor, we're asking questions some other advisors are not asking, going to areas that we think are absolutely crucial for us to ensure the clients all circumstances are taken into consideration as we put them on their best possible path. So this emphasis, I think, on understanding the need to practice the conditions in which discovery conversations are held, not just the approach of a discovery conversation to learning off the process, is sometimes it's like understanding all the different elements and the nuances that first and second chair may need to play when you're having these sensitive conversations, and when to pull out of the conversation, how to pull out of the conversations. And so if you are a client, share some examples with doing so you can get some practice up to practice those conditions around which you may be having a sensitive client in front of you, to see how you're using some of these techniques to make it safe, to focus on best interests, and to fundamentally be present, to be what is going on in front of you, which is absolutely crucial, as with all conversations. Anyway, this and all the sessions, I'd love to get your feedback, but I think this area of sensitive discoveries is becoming increasingly important to get a level of mastery on as more and more Australians seek more and more relationships that really get to the heart of the issues affecting their financial lives. Jim Stackwell signing out. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Roundtable podcast with Jim Stackwell. To access the material from today's show or to join in the conversation, head to www.certaintyadvicegroup.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, questions, and opinions. Working together, we hope to achieve a lot more for more Australians. CertaintyAdviceGroup.com.